All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John, who I believe have just turned in their applications to relocate our podcast to Los Angeles.
You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you are accepted and not turned down. We're ready for the nice, warm weather.
As we are speaking, my Jared Dudley-esque headband is turning into a top knot.
Yeah.
Oh, we are wearing some headbands.
I couldn't. It just squeezed my brain. I felt like a very small midget was giving me a head massage.
Rabble TV.
John and Chuck have some larger domes. I have a decently sized adult head. Like, you know.
I technically have a small head, but my hair is big. Mm-hmm. And my hair is not cooperating with my rabble.
So right now your headband is scrunching up your hair.
It's slowly.
I'm like Salil Moon Frye now.
Yeah, it's.
I'm Punky Brewster.
Yeah, his hair. The headband is slowly.
Joaquin Noah. I've gone Joaquin Noah.
Creeping up his head.
I was gonna go Spencer Hawes.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I'd just get me a gun and we'll be complete.
Well, now he's taking it off.
And, now he's taking it off.
Yeah, Keith's head is not normal size. It's very small. My head is gigantic.
Keith's head long.
It's yes.
It is long.
Like
it. I'm just saying a ball cap. I wear like what's like a 7 5/8 or something.
I also close wear to an 7 8.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
I'd say Chuck's probably a 10 and 9/10.
10 and a half.
I'm a solid 8. Certain cuts 59/50s. I'm a solid 8. Yeah. That's a tight cut
what
for
is
a baseball
your lid?
Cap. My lids sizes.
Do you 8. Curve your bill or are you part of the new flat cap? Thing.
I've been on that flat cap, son, and I've been doing the snapbacks for a while.
What's but, that?
It's the traditional back of the hat snap, not the fitted hat.
Oh, yeah.
Adjustable.
I don't like fitted caps.
But even my head's so big, even adjustable hats on the last setting sometimes are too tight.
You know, I said I don't like the fitted hats, but there is one guy I can think of who rocks it very well backwards. Fred Durst.
I thought you were going to name a baseball. Chipper Jones.
Larry? Larry, the Hooters waitress assassin Jones.
You've exposed me for not knowing anything about baseball. When you said Larry, I was panicked and confused.
His real name is Larry.
I love that.
I heckled him for years by calling him Larry. Whenever he would come down to the Rome Braves for a rehab assignment, I would just chant Larry, and then I would yell out names of Hooters waitresses. And when he looked up, that's when I knew he had banged that one.
John, were these specific waitresses to the Rome, Georgia? Is there a Hooters in Rome, Georgia?
Oh, yeah. I used to run trivia at a Rome, Georgia Hooters because my life has been a tumultuous ride.
Some of us have dark moments.
And Cartersville, Georgia.
Oof. Awful also, places.
Let's take it from Hooters to breakfast, gentlemen.
Never had breakfast at Hooters, but I'm willing to try.
Oh, yeah. Before we get to
the
NBA.
Day at Hooters. Mm-hmm. I've had that.
First meal of the day was a Hooters waitress. I had that.
This is going well. Keith hates this part of the...
Right.
Well,
we promise not to be racist.
Anytime.
We promise not to be racist, and we promise not to talk about drugs. So now we're going to talk about cunnilingus.
Did you happen to have breakfast this fine morning, John?
I did.
What'd you have?
Exceptionally early for me. So 8:40 a.m.? Not good. Not great. Not feeling good. So, and I thought about Chuck. Thought about getting fast food. Couldn't do it. Kept driving past them and going, wow, that's going to taste bad, or it's going to be like a rib meat. Might be rib meat. And so I went to a delicatessen.
Okay.
Mitchell Deli, local deli.
Right.
They have a breakfast bar. I filled it. Added 2 pieces of Benton's bacon on top. Took it home. Had to reheat it because it had somehow gotten completely cold. It was pretty gross, the breakfast. Except for the Benton's bacon. So this is my desperate plea for Benton's bacon to sponsor this segment.
We'll ask someone if you know anyone at Benton's bacon.
And listen, Benton's bacon. I hear a lot of naysayers who besmirch Benton's bacon. Say it overpowers things. Well, I think it powered me through a pretty bad breakfast.
That's what I'm saying.
And a Benton's bacon will let you know. We are still the number 3 breakfast podcast in the world.
In the world, on the planet of Earth.
You heard?
Yeah, her. Chuck, did you have breakfast this morning?
Oh, you know it, baby.
You tweeted some things. Was that today?
I did. That was today. Yesterday was a pretty good one. I had some...
Give us both
world,
if you need.
Yeah, I had my world-famous scrambled eggs with the cream cheese.
Creme fraiche.
Creme fraiche and a little on a toasted onion bagel. That was yesterday. Today, boys, I did it. I done went down to the house. the old Waffle House.
Oahu.
Ooh, Waffle House.
Went down.
Did anybody get arrested?
No, didn't. This was early in the morning.
That's not a full Waffle House experience,
though. It isn't. You're right. But what I did have was that breakfast. And I had me a bacon, Texas toast, cheesesteak egg with an over medium egg on it.
Wow.
So it was basically a cheesesteak sandwich on Texas toast with an egg on it with my preferred scattered.
Smother covered?
No, I didn't go. I went chunked and country.
Chunked and dunked?
What's country?
Country is with the gravy.
You sure that's not spooged?
That's not spooged.
Okay, I always thought that spooged. That makes me, reminds me of my favorite Waffle House story. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
We are on tour, and for some reason...
as long as it doesn't involve denigrating Waffle House waitresses.
Nope.
In there.
That's Chuck's job.
Right.
True story. So we're somehow, we're not in Jackson, Tennessee, but our assailant ended up screaming that he was from Jackson, Tennessee, which is a bit of foreshadowing. But so we're sitting at a Waffle House. And as per usual, I am dressed somewhere between Liberace and Elton John, because we just play a show. And so the local yokels start harassing us. They scream they're from Jackson, Tennessee, which apparently that's a big deal and shows you how tough they are. But somehow we end up talking them out of fighting us, and they start fighting each other. One of them knocks one of their teeth out. Waffle House waitress calls the cops. Cops arrest the only one who's left. And as he is sitting on the curb, handcuffed, as we walked past him, my former bass player, this is about two bass players ago, turned and farted right in his face as he was handcuffed. Is that a Waffle House?
Seems like a hate crime. I don't know.
Well, the scary part was the guy goes, "Well, hell, arrest him!"
That's so
and I, that cop looked at us and he thought about it.
he's running through the rule book.
He was like, "I think we got a 011105.
I think there's a
white male, flatulent male."
Farting
suspect is
in the general direction.
May I use deadly force? Over.
No, he's white.
But I thought it was yes. I didn't think of that angle. We were safe.
So political.
We were safe. Keith, what'd you eat?
My breakfast was
grains,
leftover pizza perfect from local Nashville eatery. They do let us hang our flyers.
Well, I like them.
Not sure.
Maybe they should sponsor this.
Maybe they
segment.
Should sponsor it. Although they take them down kind of frequently.
Just get them again.
Every time I go there, I'm like, can I put a flyer up? Yeah, sure.
If you see one of our flyers in East Nashville, I just put it up.
Oh, perfect. Because
those people are like.
And you might say flyer, podcast?
Yeah.
Why?
It's called Grassroots, baby.
That's it.
Right. And we don't know any other way to do it since we're all stupid.
We really struggle with the internet.
That's the only form of advertising.
Flyers, dude. We are where we are.
Yep.
Very lucky.
All right. Those were our breakfasts and other sundry talk. After our breakfasts, we move into our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we got wrong in any previous episode. This might also be a chance to discuss basketball, but no promises.
Never.
Does anyone have any apologies?
I would like to start off this apology segment by saying sorry to the one and only Rakim Allah, Rakim the God of Eric P. and Rakim, and one of the greatest lyricists in hip-hop history. Last episode, I said that it's been a long time, should have left you without a strong rhyme to step to.
Was written by Aaliyah.
Not written by Aaliyah. And
rest
I,
in peace.
I mentioned that it was from Paid in Full, and it's not. It's from I Know You Got Soul. And I want to apologize for misquoting the song.
So this person's name is Rakim?
Rakim. R-A-K-I-M.
So every time in the two previous episodes mm-hmm. where you've corrected John mm-hmm. and right. said, no, that's Rakim. I thought it was like a hymn, like a song that's sung to God.
Oh.
H-Y-M-N. I thought there was a band that was called Rock.
Mm-hmm. Rock Hymns.
Rock Hymn. I don't like Rock Hymns. That sounds pretty cool.
In my
cool.
mind, Rock Hymn sounds like Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Sure.
That's it, Rakim.
So Rakim. And then we had a text earlier that you mm-hmm. shared with everyone, and it was, to me that was Rakim.
Rakim. That's Rakim.
Rakim.
Yeah. And Keith had no idea what that was.
I don't know what a Rakim was.
He didn't. So sorry to the God.
So who's a better rapper, Rakim or Rap of the Rapper?
Close call, but it's Rakim.
Okay, who's a better rapper, Rakim or the guy with the nose, Humpty?
Humpty? Ooh, Humpty's more of a cultural icon than a lyricist.
I accept your answers.
Okay.
Is there any NBA player who is this caliber?
Shaq Diesel or the Fushnikins?
How about Dame Lillard?
Isn't Dame Lillard is actually Lillard? Decent.
Is he not bad?
A decent rapper.
Really?
He's not bad at rapping.
Yeah. He's bad at basketball.
At this point, yeah.
He's got that plantar fasciitis.
He's got that fasciitis.
Well, hard to play through our listener Matt Sullivan has a theory that he's like so desperate to make the All-Star team, he'll just do anything.
Well.
He'll just run out there.
The letter's not going to work.
On the bad foot. It's going wild.
I don't think any more of that's going to help his cause.
No.
Very rough against the Grizz last night.
Yeah. My apology, however, is actually not related to basketball. Last week, I was struggling to think of the director of the Ethan Hawke, Gwyneth Paltrow, Dickens adaptation, Great Expectations. Yeah. And I said, it's one of those Mexican, maybe Spanish guys.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. We riffed on it for a little bit, but I apologize to Alfonso Cuarón.
The Gravity guy.
Yeah, who directed Gravity?
Children of Men.
Children of Men, which is incredibly riveting.
Uh-huh.
Gravity was one of my kind of... As far as the theater experience, breathtaking.
Pretty good.
Fantastic. I know it takes some criticism for like freshman English level philosophizing. And
hey,
I don't mind those special effects. Unbelievable.
You gotta cater to the LCD.
I could.
Not the sound system.
So I apologize.
The human.
Alfonso. Yeah. Alfonso Cuarón for forgetting your name. You do make some fun movies that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
John, you have anything you need to atone for?
Well, I'm going to rap about it.
Okay.
Here we go.
All day, people act like they got something to say.
Oh, my God.
But nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish. Because mother truckers act like they forgot about Grandma Green. I don't even remember which podcast it was, but Keith said that Draymond Green was the best power forward in the NBA. And I prattled on stupidly about him not having the numbers to back it up. Well, he's had 3 straight triple-doubles. Draymond Green, I apologize. I get mad at you because you always beat my team and you look like Donkey from Shrek, but I forgive you if you'll forgive me.
He is on a tear. There's no other word for it. Compiling stats, he just can't stop.
Donkey.
Donkey.
He's like a it's like a Boris Diaw with incredible defensive skill or he's like a slow Magic Johnson playing who can guard.
And constantly yapping.
Oh, a lot of yapping.
Yapping like a small dog.
His mouth game is on point. 15th player ever to get a triple-double 3 games in a row. Draymond Green.
That's
high, you know.
And it's something like,
statistically
he's out
weird.
There like Grant Hill racking him up. Maybe Larry Bird did it as well. The three straight in our era, in our lifetime of watching basketball.
That's an achievement.
Absolutely achievement. I will say the assist totals, he does get some of the super assists, which are leading directly towards dunks and back cuts and things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think we got some questionable statisticians out there?
No, I don't think it's the questionable statisticians. He's making the assist, but I want to know, like...
Must be nice when his teammates always make their shots, always.
Yeah, yeah. When you set a screen for Steph Curry and hand it off to him and he's 26 feet from the bucket and moving and makes a shot, that's an assist.
But yeah.
So I'm actually curious what... I don't know what he's averaging as far as the assist totals for the last however many games, even past the 3 games, he's getting a lot of assists.
Hey, and
so I feel like some of them are...
And some of those... at least one of the triple-doubles is sans Steph Curry, so...
Right, and Klay Thompson has been knocking down 7 threes a game.
Indeed.
They have been drilling it.
Don't forget that Belmont Bruin, Ian Clark, showing up.
Ian Clark's PR is incredibly good. All right, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. After our apologies, we do our steak and eggs. Our steak and eggs best thing. What is the best thing you saw in the last week/10 days? That's when we podcasted.
For me, it's pretty easy. Jimmy Butler's 41-point quarter.
Well, 40-point half.
Yeah, 41-point
41-point quarter would be...
That would shatter Klay Thompson's.
incredible and amazing.
I really love it because it also gets rid of a Michael Jordan record, Bulls record, and I think that's...
You don't see a lot of Michael Jordan's
records
scoring records being wiped off the books.
Yeah, especially, you know... He holds like every franchise record, so it's just nice to get another name in the ledger.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. It's nice that a like weird Cosby kid looking guy like Jimmy Butler could be the guy to do it.
It's kind of weird when you get a Jimmy Butler heat check text.
Yeah. He was right.
it was like an eye opening right. kind of like, hey, let's watch this.
Dookie from the Wire is scoring 41 points in a half.
He is, and it was a big game because the Raptors outside of the Cavs, it's the Bulls, Raptors, and Pacers are kind of looking like the cream of the East. Offense intended, Chuck, to your Miami Heat.
And there's been a lot of tumult under Hoiberg's regime.
Right, and so Jimmy Butler calls out Hoiberg. You know, 7 games ago or so, and says, like, you have to coach harder, whatever that means.
What is that?
And, but...
Is that like the slow hand?
He puts his money where his mouth is, as some people say. And single-handedly beat the Raptors, pretty much. Took him back.
Well, don't act like Bobby Portis wasn't there, too.
Well, he was, but...
OG Bobby
wild-eyed,
Portis.
Wild-eyed Bobby Portis.
Him rallying the Bulls single-handedly with the... And it is 40 points. I'm not going to give you 41, John.
It was only 40?
No matter how many times you say
it. Yeah, it was
He
40.
Scored 42 points in the game.
Total.
With 40 in the second half.
Which is almost... What kind of first half are you having? There, yeah. Jimmy, if you can do 40 and a half, what kind of way are you only scoring 2 points? I feel like
why are we focusing on the 40 when the 2 is
can
the embarrassing
part? Can we talk about how you had a really crappy first half?
Yeah, I take back. It's not my best of the week anymore.
That's right. My best thing is there were so many, because I feel like that Jimmy Butler wiped the slate of the other things that were impressive.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to focus on one of my favorite players. I was also going to mention Paul George, who had a similar, I think he ran off 17 straight against the Pistons. Had a heat check fourth quarter that was just incredible. But again, I could barely remember it after watching Jimmy Butler's heroics. But I will say, one of my guys, future Grizzly, Chris Middleton.
Uh-oh.
He'll always be a future Grizzly to me.
K-H-R-I-S.
He had a very hot streak. Had 2 games back-to-back where he scored a total of 69 points, 10 of 15 from 3. A lot of jump shots. Just the guy, the jump shot assassin. Just seeing him find his stroke. Anytime like a 15-point-a-game score goes for 30-plus back-to-back games, gets you excited. Especially a man I love watching him play basketball. The Bucks,
C.J. Miles-ish.
Still not going to make the playoffs.
Uh-uh.
Still kind of apparently play the Warriors decently.
Yeah.
But,
That's their little special ability.
And I still haven't... I know that they got Gus Johnson to call some games. Has that happened yet? Because I haven't heard it.
If it does happen, I won't hear it because Gus Johnson is unpalatable to me.
I like him in basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't. I don't get into the whole like unintelligible yelling thing.
Yeah.
I prefer like a solid like Kevin Harlan like yes.
Well, I would say you probably don't enjoy our rabbles then.
Come on.
Unintelligible yelling isn't your.
I want to apologize.
I feel like ours is guttural.
Yeah. If anybody listened to the overtime of our rabble, I was just me grunting.
You turned into Toshiro Mifune.
Right.
You were a samurai warrior. You just went... and I wish this game would end.
And if you don't know, Rabble is it's an online thing that we've been doing some. You can follow us there on rabble.tv. We broadcast games, provide our own commentary for it.
Where you get to turn the lights of Gus Johnson off. And
you can mute
listen to us.
Listen Gus to Johnson. Some like-minded folks.
Exactly. What's your... you got a stick and eggs?
Oh, man. I got something that was so good. D-Wade. Classic vintage D Wade sending a game in overtime on a play against the Indiana Pacers.
Always got to be a Heat thing.
Always got to be.
When
Heat
I saw it, I would have bet a lot of money that was going to be the best of them.
Well, here's the thing, and you know, I know we've kind of given Frank Vogel a lot of love here,
right?
But that play harkens similarly to the Eastern Conference Finals years back with LeBron hitting a very similar layup, and both times. Frank Vogel didn't have Roy Hibbert on the court. And where was he this time? You know,
he was in Los Angeles.
I know.
He was on the Lakers.
Where's Roy Hibbert?
Where was Jan Mahinmi on the play? Where was he? I watched that game. That was a good game.
It was a good game.
I believe the Heat battled back.
It was a big win for the Heat.
And they're, you know, this isn't like last season, me crowbarring Heat talking. They're actually in the, you know, they look like a team that could be in, you know, with an injury to Cleveland and a Heat wonderful run with health and some more chemistry.
Dragic scored 18 points the other night.
And that's
how about that?
If he can figure something out, then maybe we can have something by the playoffs that could push a, you know, Kyrie-less or Kevin Love-less Cavs to 7 games.
I'm going
to
say it again. The Heat... 22 home games, 12 road games. They've played 10 more games at home than road games.
I think that actually works out better for the Heat because it actually hurts the Heat because when you want, you want the, you know, the players coming in to Miami after the season's been going on. When you come to Miami at the beginning of the year, it's like
you're focused
like the beginning of your school year where you're not going to go out and party and drink with your friends.
I'm not going
to
do it.
So it may not help them in the long run to be playing.
Yeah, it's getting closer to playoff time. Jalen Rose might be hanging around.
That's what I'm saying. Champagne campaign.
It could be bad.
All right. So those were our steak and eggs best things. Now what's the opposite of that? Your cream of wheat, worst of week.
So Mitch Kupchak is threatening to retire both of Kobe Bryant's numbers now.
Sure.
Are there going to be any numbers left for the Lakers to wear?
I don't know. It's kind of a hot take, Skip.
You got like Jerry West's number. It's got to be retired. You got, I mean, Shaq couldn't even wear 32 in LA.
No. Or,
and then, I mean, you got to retire AC Green's number. I think it was 69. you gotta retire.
All of that was for that, wasn't it? All of that was for that, wasn't it? This whole talk.
I was gonna prattle it on for a while, but I had to get to AC Green wearing 69.
He'll try to give you that. Oh, today we were talking about our tweet of the screen cap of our group text of John telling me to come on in. I was picking John up to bring him to the podcast. And I knocked on the door, and he opened it, but he was behind the door, and I immediately knew there was going to be a body part.
I was naked.
He's naked again.
He's naked behind the door.
Our listeners will recognize that story from last week. That's what was supposed to happen the other time.
It was, and I was like, "No, you're not going to get me, buddy."
So John says, "Yeah, I'm full. I'm dressed. Come on in.
I'm dressed. Come on in. I'm waiting for you, buddy." I walked in with my back to the door.
It's never true.
It was gross.
Hey, at least I didn't flash a mother and child this time. Thanks for being you, Chuck.
You were hoping to get to that AC Green jersey number, but
yeah,
focusing on what you said about the number, focusing on the negative. The positive is Kobe might not be playing anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the positive for the Lakers.
He has been playing for a while.
I'm just saying. Once that number's retired, they're free.
Yeah, it's funny how Kupchak is having to say stuff like, "This year is a farewell tour. That is the purpose of the year. There is nothing else that we care about," and we can't do anything until.
However,
he's gone.
If their goal is to tank, they need to stop resting them.
Right?
They won three in a row now.
I know.
I mean, Kupchak has said
out of control.
"Quote: We cannot move on as a team until Kobe leaves." End quote. And that's good journalism right there.
I know. That's fantastic. My worst of the week. The Phoenix Suns supernova.
It's not good.
I like the Suns. Like, as a franchise, the players, they won me over back in the day with the Rex Chapmans and Tom Gugliottas of the world.
That's coded language.
Sex offended mayor Kevin Johnson.
The Cliff Robinsons.
Okay, good.
The West Persons. That incredible Antonio McDice, like, year and a half.
I thought you were going to roll out Dan Marley.
If you don't say Thunder Dan Marley soon.
Right, yeah. Well, Chuck called me out, and I had to change horses there.
Chuck checked your privilege.
Anyway, so the Suns are now, from the offseason debacle of the Markieff Morris thing, whether they should have told him they were training his brother, to the year before, the Isaiah Thomas, the Goran Dragic troubles. So now, Eric Bledsoe, who maybe should have been getting MVP consideration, because
went out of his mind.
Because once he went down, this became the worst team in the NBA.
The wheels came off.
They gave up 142 points in a regulation game to the Kings.
Insane.
A lot of that was our boy, John the Badger, guarding Boogie one-on-one for much of the game.
That's a bad matchup.
I feel like that was some kind of a vengeance for that lure got him earlier in the year with that dunk over Boogie.
Yeah, payback's a bitch.
So then they had, and then they followed that up with a game in Los Angeles.
The Lakers, the aforementioned Lakers.
The second worst team in the NBA held the Suns to 22 points in the first half.
In a half.
It's as crazy.
Would say.
They signed Tyson Chandler, who seemingly has no interest in playing.
He threw a towel at his coach.
He got Markieff style?
A little bit.
He got ejected the other day in short order.
That was a hell of a stats line.
Missed a handful of layups before getting tossed. He's signed for four more years.
You got to think that will be a trade piece this season.
I don't I don't know who in the world would want him.
Really? I feel like a contender. Like, I feel like he could be like the Cavs picking up their big Grote. Instead, they just get a big stylish ninja.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know which team is looking for a semi-fragile alleged shot blocker rebounder.
You don't think he's like Mozgov-ish, at least as far as what a team would look for?
But that would be if they think they just need him for this year, as opposed to
right.
the three. I know the rising cap
is going
up, but still, like, 3 more years at $13 million per, I think, is what it is. Like, that's rough. Also, another negative thing that they wasted Mirza Teletovic. Just floundering out there.
You know what's great? Sarver blames millennial culture.
Right. Yes, he does. I read this.
He says, you know, basically, Markieff is sad that his brother, he had a setback with his brother. Yeah, it's his twin, and you put them together, and they played well, dummy. It's called chemistry. It's not about millennials.
Have you seen the movie?
It's about how you put together
twins?
A team.
Twins? What are you talking about?
Twins?
Fair enough.
DeVito and Schwarzenegger.
The governor?
Yeah, the governor. But yeah, it's not like the front office that absolutely has been completely inept.
I mean, Sarver's the one who sold Lou Aldang.
Haven't you seen right? Dead Ringers? Gosh.
Have you seen Junior?
Twin gynecologists?
Did you see?
Murderous twin gynecologists?
Jeremy Irons?
Absolutely, it's Jeremy Irons.
It's fuzzy.
Come on, Sarver.
It's been a long time. Sarver, though, maybe we should be nice. Sarver bought a $12 million piece of real estate in Nashville. We're neighbors.
Hey, now.
Yeah. Sort of.
He just bought Murfreesboro.
Smoke some of Chuck's Doge.
So I'm sad that, I mean, you got to think Hornacek is out. But again, that's a franchise that doesn't know what they're doing.
Just last year, we were watching that team lovingly chase each other in Velociraptor suits. What's happened?
What has happened? The Valley of the Sun, it's decimated. And I know they got that Devin Booker, who is the youngest guy in the NBA. And I think he looks awesome.
He can hit the three, brother.
He does. I had to be talked out of like disbanding commentary. I wanted to tear this team apart after watching that Laker 22-point half.
Oh yeah,
I wanted to just pick them. I wanted T.J. Warren for the Heat.
Oh,
I think he'd be great. Warren. Who would you want from the Suns? Because we should
T.J. Warren and Devin Booker.
Yeah, T.J. Warren, Devin Booker.
That's it. And then everybody else.
Brandon Knight, please.
P.J. Tucker. We're saying. Good players' names.
Yeah.
And right. P.J. Tucker.
Why are they so bad?
Why are they bad?
So that's the thing. I assume.
It looks like they quit on Hornacek.
You think maybe Tyson Chandler could get. I feel like P.J. Tucker might be one who goes to a random team. Like,
right.
That's a guy I don't want to see.
You're more cap savvy, so you actually know who might be.
As a biased Grizzlies fan, right. Like, I don't want to see P.J. Tucker end up on like the Clippers.
No.
Or some, you know, like that would be great. Like,
right.
You know, or something. They have guys. And I assume the guys they're going to move. I assume a P.J. Tucker might move if they can get like a pick for him.
Everybody wants some 3-and-D.
I assume Archie Goodwin will get moved to somewhere where he gets playing time because it looks like they're going to have Devin Booker. They don't need because they have Bledsoe and Knight. And now the question is, do we keep these guys? Because now Eric Bledsoe has been hurt a couple times, even though he's clearly our best player.
I think Brandon Knight's going to have one of those careers where he plays everywhere. And at the end of the career, you're like, why didn't a team just stick with him? He seems good.
I don't know why.
I think he's probably toast there.
If it wasn't the Bucks, it seems like the Bucks could have stuck with him. All right. Anyway, did you have a worst, Chuck?
My worst was that.
The Suns. Yeah, was the pylon. Yeah.
We just piled on. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
I think that's
Chuck
obviously
went nuclear.
I just think we.
He went so nuclear on them, it erased Keith's mind.
We shouldn't have a team in Phoenix anymore after that.
Oh, just
yeah.
Just
a but 20, the air is so crisp.
I think a 22-point quarter or half is kind of okay because you take in statistical anomalies and people miss shots, whatever. Against the Lakers, unforgivable forever. Your franchise has been pocked, marked with ugly scars. Pockmarked.
Smallpox.
Smallpox.
I get it. It was like, that's good. All right, now well let's moving on to our cocked it. Back to Waffle House.
There you go, boy.
Presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. The Brandon Knight thought actually brought me to thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks. As I mentioned, the Chris Middleton.
They're terrible.
Poor Jason Kidd, a little hip surgery. We've been out for a while. He's taken off.
I think he heard it when he tossed that drink out there when he took that bump.
Right.
Took a savage bump.
Or when he knocked the ball out of that ref's hand.
Yeah, he is savvy.
Violently spiked the hand.
I love all his dirty tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him back, Jason.
How can you not?
He's teaching his kids to, like...
Outside of the DUIs.
Don't talk about his kid. You remember that reign of terror his kid had courtside, like, 10 years ago?
No, I mean...
His wife brought it to every game, and it had, like, a mustache at age 2 and would not go away.
That's funny.
And then it gets kind of bittersweet, because that's the wife he beat up, and, oh, God, now I'm thinking of the kid's broken home, and this got dark quickly.
That's the thing. That's my wife can never. She
never forgives Kid for that.
She never forgives Jason Kidd for that. I was such a big Jason Kidd fan, and then right. It's like, oh yeah, domestic abuse.
He's out.
Hard to explain those away.
Yeah.
also talking about going away. Our man Joey Crawford. Joey Crawford is hanging it up.
Oh, I know why.
And he's hated. Why is that? He's old.
No, it's not it.
What is it?
There's a whole world mechanisms. Behind this.
This sounds conspiratorial.
Retirement.
Oh, Chuck, you got something here?
Yeah.
Is this Chuck's turkey bacon?
Turkey Benton's bacon?
Benton's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week?
Yeah. Well, here's how it goes, right? Timmy was scoreless in a game for the first time in his career recently. Tim Duncan.
Yes.
And Pop wanted to give him a present, right?
Okay.
So, he made a wager with the old Sith Lord, Adam Silver.
Slugworth from the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
The great-grandson of Myers Lansky.
Of course.
If you're a long-time listener.
Long-time listener, you know that Adam Silver rose to fame as a pool shark. He wears velvet jackets on the reg and eventually made his way to the top of the NBA pyramid through...
Made him an offer they couldn't refuse.
A bunch of basically handshake gambling... measures. That's how he got the job. He
called in the markers.
Right. And we all know Adam Silver's a fan of gambling. He wants FanDuel and all these things to be involved in his organization. He loves it. He thinks it brings excitement to the game.
He thinks it ruins lives, and that makes him happy.
Mm-hmm. Of course it does.
He's Slugworth.
So basically, Popovich had a, made us obviously couldn't refuse a bet with Popovich. Adam Silver couldn't do it. So Pop said, hey, if I win coach of the month, you got to make Joey Crawford retire. And he did, because Pop doesn't care about wins. He cares about human pelts. he's a soulless bureaucrat that works for the New World Order. And he effectively ended Joey Crawford's career as a gift to Tim Duncan.
He didn't end Joey Crawford gifts, because I'll always have him... Travel dancing down the court, block dancing down the court,
breaking
his finger
on a tech,
beating someone up.
How do you think that was presented to Duncan? Was it like specially wrapped? Did he have a nice thing?
Yeah, it was like this was the head of Joey Crawford.
No,
in a box.
It was just like a folded piece of paper with like his seal.
No, Popovich was very sweet. He actually ordered advertising space on Downton Abbey's final episode and made a personal commercial to the local San Antonio station to Tim Duncan. It was great.
He made a contribution to PBS in Duncan's honor.
Yeah, because that's what Tim Duncan would want.
Was Boban Marjanovic involved at all?
Who do you think did the cutting?
You think it?
He's the Luca Brasi of the San Antonio Spurs organization.
Well, I think he's
their like mascot now. That's great.
That
they cheer MVP for him.
Have you heard Pop kind of takes umbrage with it? He's like, he's a human. He's a human being. He's not a freak. Boban is not a freak. He's a basketball player with a heart and a soul.
He's a human being who can be hunted and collected as a trophy like any other human being. All right,
but I'm a little sad about, as much as I hated Joey Crawford, but we won't see any more Joey Crawfords.
I think
the Mike Mathises and the Joey Crawfords of the world, like, they're gone.
At me.
Yeah, because the NBA won't hire him.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Who's left?
I should have pulled up my NBA roster to come up, because now I have to rattle off referee names.
I mean, there's Mark.
I feel like Ed Malloy has a little bit of look at me in him.
But we are watching the end of that era. Like, those guys are going away.
It could be. Mark Davis, I feel like, has a secretly joy of doing some things.
He hates the Grizzlies.
He does hate the Grizzlies.
He's the scariest referee.
It is. So Joey Crawford is kind of one of those... draws the ire of every fan base for some reason or another.
Oh, I think we know the reason.
Well, it's because of just it's the nature of how he calls it and his cantankerous
gesticulations.
And exactly.
He challenged Tim Duncan to a fight.
That was no good.
He one time ejected Tim Duncan for laughing on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he was suspended for it.
Right.
So
changed his life.
But this is a bad week for celebrating the pass, or not the passing, but the moving on of one of the better refs.
He's dead to me.
Because we've had we're recording this on a Tuesday. On Monday night, there was a severely blown call where Jeff Withey was tackled by the Houston Rockets on a game-tying dunk attempt. The Rockets, for like 1.5 seconds, quit playing basketball. It was one of those things where you thought there was a foul. They committed a hard foul, and then their bodies are used to just stopping, assuming there's a foul call. Yeah. And then it took them a second to realize that nothing had been called.
Right.
So we're getting some blown calls into games. Also, the Jazz, that I believe the night before or two nights before with the Grizzlies benefited from some.
I don't really think of Joey Crawford as like a bad official in that respect.
Just
I think
annoying.
Of him as a bad official in the like, I'm taking over the game, look at me respect.
That's fair. And that part is where I know you watch a playoff game and you're like, oh, it's a Joey game. We're going to get all this.
Yeah.
Like it includes all
center
that.
Center stage, spotlight on Joseph.
That's good. All right. You know, it's been a little bit.
We haven't done one of these since New Year's.
What's that?
A podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So happy New Year.
So
did you guys.
With New Year's, I mean, don't you guys have some basketball related New Year's resolutions?
Yeah. I already broke them, though. I was going to watch every Heat game this year. And I'm just like.
You missed one?
Yeah.
You missed a few? Did you miss a Lakers game? Because that's forgivable.
I missed the Grizz game. I was out.
And oh, you didn't miss that.
And I caught the end. I watched like 15 minutes of it.
How could you miss that? That was one of the best games of the year. And you lost overtime.
Well, Twitter.
And they were wearing the Memphis Sounds jerseys.
Twitter told me we lost, so I kind of was sad when I started watching it.
You did the old sad delete.
Yeah. I was just like,
okay. You end up like one of those grandpas who only watch like tapes. I tape the Auburn games, but I only watch them if I see in the paper that they won by 14 or more. Otherwise, I can't take this dress. Doctor says I can't. Angina. Chuck Anderson here.
It's me.
I have my New Year's resolution was along those lines. My New Year's resolution was to knowingly watch less garbage. Like I like watching just crappy things a lot.
Right.
I go into things like, oh, this will be terrible. I'll watch it. So, but then much like Chuck on New Year's Day.
Well, that was all garbage. On New Year's Day was straight garbage.
On New Year's Day, I noticed on Amazon Prime Rentals, Terminator Genesis was only 99 cents.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, give me some of that.
That's a steal.
And then
this isn't basketball related.
And then when that was over, I caught some of that Sixers Lakers part two.
Oh, God. My New Year's resolution is I'm not going to watch another Lakers game.
No, you got to.
Not going to do it. Unless we rabble one. And here's
why. Have you seen these dunks?
The farewell tour is nauseating. I can't do it.
Evan Turner made a funny comment about it when he was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was coming to Philly, and he said, "When that round of applause that you hear happens, it's probably not for Kobe. It's for me."
Good for him.
Like, who cares that you go? It's just like the Rolling Stones.
You always forget how like inane these farewell tours are until you're experiencing them. Because I mean, you guys aren't baseball people, but the Derek Jeter thing was just the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mariano Rivera, and you guys know they're giving him gifts everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
That's the way.
It's awful.
What is that? That guy, there's nothing that guy doesn't have. Yeah. He can do anything he wants. He can sodomize people, and all he has to do is buy his wife a new ring, and it's fine. It goes away.
Spend $150,000 on a lawyer.
It's fine. It'll go away. He doesn't need any more earthly possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let him retreat to wherever it is he's going to retreat.
Where do we see Kobe after retirement? What is he doing?
China. Doing another farewell tour.
Producing that biopic.
GM of the Lakers.
Biopic?
Owner of the Lakers.
GM of the Lakers. Oh, yeah. That would work.
He's going to buy into the Lakers.
What great. That would be the greatest. Wouldn't that be the greatest ending to the franchise that he would take a Jordan-esque role and effectively ruin the franchise forever?
He truly is the next
one. Well, I mean, they are a bit rudderless, directionless, as they sit around and wait for Kobe to leave, apparently. But I see him definitely getting involved with that franchise because NBA players are becoming owners. Like they're all buying in.
Hey, maybe he'll go home to Philly.
Everyone from Shaq to Penny Hardaway.
Maybe he can somehow make the Sixers worse.
No.
Can it be done?
No.
I would say my other New Year's resolution is to, on New Year's Eve, play with less flamethrowers and bonfires. Got a little burn on my back.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of goofing off.
Yeah.
I mean, there was times when we went to a cabin, some friends of mine went to a cabin, we were just burning some things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like we knew, we're like, hey, be careful, guys.
Yeah.
Like that is a propane tank with a blowtorch attached. Let's just, everybody be careful.
You should just do.
So we were careful, but still it's a big fire. There's like the embers flying through the air, like go down your shirt. Right.
I resolved probably 10 years ago to just, unless I'm walking to my car, just never go outdoors. Never, ever go outdoors.
That's fair enough. Did you guys have big New Year's Eves?
Played a show.
Oh, you played a show?
Like
yeah.
You do.
Like a musician will do sometimes.
Like you have to do every year. I haven't had a real New Year's Eve in a very long time. Looking forward to it one day.
Yep.
I mean, she'll be irrelevant, though.
I can handle that. as long as I don't have to play like a Huey Lewis song at midnight, I'll be okay.
That's great.
I think I'll
be all right. We always have the podcast. Yeah, my New Year's is kind of weird. This is gonna. I know we're not allowed to delve into the dark arts here, but yeah, a lot of bad things happened, and then I had a party that I hosted, and then I went home. That was it. I got into a car accident.
Oh.
I'm going to tell a story.
Wait, okay. Is that... Are you just...
John will tell a story. I can't.
I feel like you're trying to bury a lead.
It's going
to
sound like Chuck got a DUI, but he did, in fact, not get a DUI.
No DUI.
In fact, this non-DUI probably saved him from getting a DUI later.
My mom said the exact same thing. Literally, my mom said the exact same thing.
Oh, no.
She said, oh, it's probably good that you didn't go out drinking because she... Oh, my mom's Irish,
probably
by the way.
Good you didn't get to... Yeah. You probably good you almost died before you drank. But Chuck... Chuck basically... he's on his way to his New Year's Eve party. Gets waylaid, sideswiped by some 20-year-old vixen. And because Chuck's on his way to a New Year's Eve party, his car is full of, shall we call them party favors?
Party favors.
Uh-oh.
And then Chuck, when he's
kazoos,
waiting.
Kazoos.
Yeah.
Confetti.
Whiz bangs.
Whiz bangs.
And then when Chuck made a mistake, when the police officer said, hey, you got somebody coming to pick you up? Chuck goes, no.
This goes back to Chuck being under pressure.
He's Chuck's the worst under pressure.
Yeah, no, I'm really bad.
And then the cop's like, well, I'll give you a ride. Why don't you grab those, all those bags of party favors?
Why don't you grab those mysterious bundles of party favors?
No, what he did was the tow truck had my car hooked up and was bringing it onto the truck. And the cop was like, do you have anything left in there you need to get before you go? And I'm like,
yeah. Drugs.
Actually, I do have something.
I have drugs in the... Oh, God.
So I grabbed it, and he was like, yeah, I'll bring you home. And I said, okay. And he dropped me off safely. Thankfully, I didn't get pulled over, because if a cop would have found what was in...
How many gallons of sweat did you produce?
I was fine at that point.
Did you ride in the front or the back?
Well, after you get into a car wreck, your like nerves kind of become still. Like, just it's a calmness that I don't really get normally.
Answer the question. Were you in the front or the back of the car?
I was in the back, because there was two of them.
Oh, God.
I think I'll post a picture on our Twitter.
Oh, nice.
I took a picture from the back of the cop car.
So, this is me not getting arrested.
This is me in a back of a cop car.
For once.
Not getting arrested. It was great. They were sweet guys.
So other than that, we think that might have been a saving grace.
Yeah, and
you
had the party that I was charged to host, I missed the...
Yeah, Chuck missed the New Year's Eve countdown.
By like 5 seconds.
I had one job.
That happens
at a party.
It was described to me by mutual friends as really blowing it, and then Chuck told me, he's like, I missed it by 4 seconds. I was like,
we started at 12.
That game of telephone got out of time.
Here's the thing. If you're at a really good party...
Right.
You can blow right through the countdown.
Of course.
Because the flip side to that is, well, when's the countdown?
Yeah.
26 minutes.
Okay, guys, here we go. Yeah, like I was having
a blast.
That's
really the countdown to when you get to leave.
Exactly. I told the babysitter I'd be home at 12:15.
See, that's the party I want to go to. I want to go to the old people party.
Right.
I want to have like two martinis, do the countdown, go home, get my like once a year blowjob, and go to sleep.
Oh dear!
Can't we just move on to that? Does every year has to be some like Sodom and Gomorrah thing that I'm at? There was people with gas masks at this New Year's.
Oh,
party
I saw the I pictures.
At.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
There was all kinds of. There were a lot of party favors going on.
Party favors.
I think those gas masks were connected to party favors.
All right, I think I'm going to bring back an old goodie, but a fave.
Uh oh,
this is Game of Scones.
Not very good at this. Looking for a sponsor for that one as well. Intamin's, Pepperidge Farms.
Giving you a little trivia. We actually had to do a game of scones. It's like how Warner Brothers has to make a Spider-Man movie every 3 years.
Yeah, we're about to lose the rights
because the starters are moving in.
Yeah, Game of Bones, my ass.
This is the second time they've pretty much lifted a thing. I'm not saying they listen to our podcast.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
But I am saying they know who we are. And this is the second time they've taken a segment that is almost exact. The who said it? Meta World Peace or...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What was that? Jaden Smith?
Yes.
They took that.
Yeah, wholesale.
Verbatim.
Yeah, I'm afraid they did.
Anyway, this week,
you know what? To their credit, they probably had the first NBA podcast worth a damn.
So. Oh, yeah. We are ripping them off with everything we do.
Basketball Jones was a wonderful thing.
All right, so this is a quick game of scones. And it is about brothers in the NBA. Not that hard. I don't even know who won last. Chuck, we'll let you go first here.
Okay.
I won last.
Did you?
There are 9 sets of brothers in the NBA.
Now?
There are currently 9 sets of brothers in the NBA. Some of them, when this was brought to my attention, by a power listener, Chris Howell.
The listener.
He's our only listener.
The master.
He listens hundreds of times, and that's how we...
We just live in his head.
That's right. So there are 9 sets of brothers in the NBA currently. Chuck, I'm going to need you to close your laptop.
Okay.
You're touching things. Chuck was touching things.
Chuck would never cheat.
So there's 9.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, you have the advantage going first, because if you get them all right, you get 5 and win.
Okay.
So then once you say something wrong,
okay,
it'll go to the next person. If you do accidentally say someone who I believe their brother is in the D League, I'll let you try again.
Because
there are some guys who are in the NBA and their brothers are in the D League.
I'm about to get smoked.
So this is, again, a couple of these guys I didn't even were related, but that's because I don't apparently follow college basketball, and I might have known that because they were.
Right.
That's not a hint.
Do they all have the same last names?
They all have the same last name.
Okay, that's going to help.
All have the same last name, so
sometimes it gets
Chuck
confusing.
Going first, name a pair of brothers.
The Gasols.
There you go. Mark and Powell.
And now I go?
Yep, John.
Let's take stuff away that you all know. Let's go with the Morris twins.
The Lopez brothers.
That's right. The Morai are gone. The Lopez-I. Lopez-I's?
The Lopi.
Lopez.
That's correct.
Let's try to think of another one that you won't be able to use. Plumlee's.
Plumlee's are gone. Miles and Mason.
They got a tertiary Plumlee's coming to town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. This is harsh.
I would say there are 5 of the 5 left. 4 are kind of difficult.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chuck just lost. Do I have to seal the deal?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think if John gets one more, he seals the deal.
Yeah.
I knew Chuck would struggle with this. I feel bad.
This was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to kill me.
Because some of these guys are, your hint is, of the remaining 5, 4 of the lesser of the 2 are fringe NBA players.
Right. You know,
like they're...
That's too good. That's too big of a hint.
That's a very big hint. But I want Chuck to get one more.
All right, Chuck. I've only got one more in my holster.
I'm done. I got nothing.
Curry.
The Currys.
Yeah.
That was it.
Old.
That's the Zenith and the Nadir, brotherlies.
All right, so John wins it. All right, there is a set of brothers. Lightning round.
Okay.
I'll give you the teams.
Okay.
First one to get it. All right.
This is a new game.
Hornets and Celtics.
Celtics would be the Zellers.
Zellers.
Yeah, it goes to John, extending his lead.
Hornets.
And then we have the Knicks.
Right.
And the Sixers.
Oh, the Grants.
Yes. See, that was the one. Jeremy and Jerry and Grant. I had no idea they were related.
No, I did.
I didn't know. Harvey's boys.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. Okay, another one. The Pelicans. And the Hawks.
Bazemore?
No.
You'd remember if there's another Bazemore.
I love that name.
The dancing would be obscene. Pelicans and Hawks.
Pelicans and Hawks.
Jeez. I'm trying to go through the whole roster here. Smith? It's not Gordon, is it?
No.
Wow.
That's a strike, boys.
Schroeder? No.
No.
Is there another Drew.
Oh, the holidays.
Just on holiday. And then finally, Hawks Jazz.
What?
Haywood? Gordon?
No. There's no Haywood brothers.
I would love there to
Brendan
be.
Brendan Haywood?
Brendan Gordon.
If another Hawks set of brothers is insane. Is it the holidays again?
It is Elijah and Paul Millsap. Breaking news, Elijah Millsap has just been waived, is no longer in the NBA. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Elijah Millsap, I forgot he existed.
I thought you guys, and I mean, you know.
You're not good at this.
True. I know.
Maybe we should let the starters have this game. I'm just bad at it.
I heard the trivia's going to be good. Chuck, the trivia's you bring to the table are usually fun.
Okay.
Always fantastic.
I thought that was a fine game.
A rousing
Fair
game.
Enough.
It was, you're right.
A game of scones. All right, now moving on to the awards segment of the evening. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award goes to the worst performance in a box score. We had some very good competition this week. Real quickly, because again, it was 10 days. Honorable mentions. Jordan Clarkson, 2-for-14. Chris Paul, 3-for-18. Monte Ellis, 4-for-19. Kobe Bean, 5-for-20. Russell Westbrook, 6-for-23. Those were all spectacular, but we actually have three worse performances. In chronological order, Kyle Korver.
I watched that game.
And he had arguably the best shooting season ever last year.
Crashing to earth like now, Meteor Man.
This could be the violent regression to the mean,
violent.
Which a listener pointed out to us last week. The very lazily titled holiday cheer probably should have been titled violent regression to the mean. But I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Too late now.
That's my bad. I regretted naming that title. I was sleepy. I blame everything on sleepy now.
But yeah. It does. It timestamps it.
Stop fornicating.
Timestamps it.
Right. No more babies.
Kyle Korver, 0-for-11. 2 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, 4 fouls. That was part of a game, a two-game stretch where he went 0-for-18 from three. 0-for-11, Kyle Korver. Say it ain't so. Also, Rodney Hood in a loss.
Who's been red hot.
He has been red hot in a loss to the Timberwolves. 1-for-13, 6 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. And then, can't believe we haven't even mentioned him, this show. Ish Smith, given the keys to the kingdom in Philadelphia.
The Lord of Mediocrity.
But it's a race to mediocrity. Elton Brand coming to help him get to that mediocrity.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
3-for-19, 9 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 3 turnovers, 5 fouls. So we have Kyle Korver, 0-for-11. Rodney Hood, 1-for-13. Ish Smith, 3-for-19.
I'm voting Korver with authority.
I agree.
That's what he is supposed to do, is make shots, and he made none of them.
And he looks like a retired boy band member.
No, he looks like a Joss Whedon Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire. Like post-transformation.
There's no... Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. It's 100%. 100%. I'm fine with that. I think I feel like throwing a vote to Ish Smith, but Kyle won it. So Kyle won it 2-1. Congratulations, Kyle Korver. You are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. Also, new special moment.
Uh-oh.
This day in iShop history.
What is it? Oh, I love this.
Wow.
This day in International Stackhouse of Pancakes. You'll remember January 5th, 2000, Tony Kukoc went 7-for-26.
Oh, my
19
God.
Missed shots.
That's amazing.
Just firing away. So that was...
But you know Phil still drew up that last play for him.
This day...
Scotty, you can't shoot tonight. It's going to Tony. Where are you going, Scotty? Scotty, get back here. Scotty, remember the triangle.
This day in iShop history. All right, boys. We will have a Grizzlies epilogue right after the little break. But before that, the par fadeaway. What is the thing that you are looking forward to in the coming week?
Next week, Kristaps Porzingis road trip.
Mm-hmm.
That is a week.
I second that.
Hopefully we'll have a podcast before then. But
might have to be right afterwards. Might have to be like a hotel cast.
We might podcast from Memphis. Looking forward to going to Memphis to
details
see Kristaps. I would say, as teased in the iShop, I'm enjoying the race to mediocrity of the Sixers. They signed a Brand for no reason.
They're better than the Lakers now.
They've buried Bob Covington.
Yeah.
Bob Covington. All right. So if
I'm not into that, he's a master.
If it was part of the process, they could have turned Robert Covington, I think, into a first round pick if they didn't think he was going to be there. So now they're, I guess, ostensibly trying to win games, like Carl Landry, who's a good NBA player.
Yeah.
We've said that there's no reason he shouldn't be playing, but now he's getting the minutes. Robert Covington is playing like 10, 12 minutes a game. I mean, Covington cannot dribble.
No.
Like at all. And it's a mess when he tries to playmate because he turns it over a crazy amount.
He just thieves and heaves.
Very well said.
That's what he do.
Beautiful, buddy.
And so
I've been rapping.
I guess I'm looking forward to their continued what they're going to do. I assume Brand is just there to coach.
Yeah.
To set an example.
Here's how you get hurt horribly.
And to get his we didn't meet the salary cap floor cap disbursement payment.
Here's how you make a lot of money by not playing.
Right. So again, so but now if they are racing to mediocrity, they might have lost the chance to trade Covington for a first round pick if they're like, well, why is he only playing 10 minutes a game
on this crap team?
On this crap team. So I guess I'll
keep watching. They're really living in the worst of both worlds.
It looks like they're starting to live in that, the fringe they tried to avoid for so long, so many years.
Elton Brand, quote, "I know I can affect change and be part of something," on his signing with Philadelphia, not on his agreement to give a political donation.
Yeah, was that his Nobel Prize acceptance speech? The hell was that?
Is that a Players Tribune?
That's an ESPN alert.
Shut up, Elton Brand. Shut up.
That's perfect. All right. So stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue. Memphis fans or people who like to hear us harangue angrily.
Harangrily.
Stomp around the basement throwing things.
The rest of you guys.
The Grizzly epilogue it shall be.
Yeah. The rest of you guys, follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook, on iTunes. Write us a 5-star review, please. That really helps us out. Follow us on rabble.tv. We should be rabbling soon, probably in the next week. So check us out there if you like that kind of thing. And thanks you guys for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue.
It's been sloppy, Keith.
It's been sloppy. The Grizzlies, I think we have to embrace it. While they still, as a Grizzlies fan...
Bad process, good result happening.
Which one is that? Are you referring to?
Last night.
So the last night was the Trailblazers game. I was going to say...
Although we are immune to their powers.
As much as I still have optimism that there's so many good players on the team... But this team is just mediocre, and it's troubling. But my takeaway from the last like 10 days of games, the up and down, them looking terrible but pulling out some wins. They had some nice wins. But my takeaway is I'm at least encouraged that while they play mediocre, I feel better because my boy Tony Allen is playing better.
They're playing better with Tony Allen on the court as well.
Did he hit a layup?
So he has been...
He hit a number of layups.
He's been hitting layups. If you would have watched that Heat game,
I watched the 15. Had his way.
So like Tony Allen is making steals. He's making the back cuts. There was just part of it as a Grizzlies fan where the Grizzlies falling from fringe title contention to being mediocre and having my favorite player, Tony Allen, and maybe my second favorite player, Zach Randolph, look horrible. That was just too painful.
No, absolutely.
So, but
now they're taking turns. They're alternating guys.
Right. So now it's like, oh, well, Zach and Tony are playing well. I can handle this team being mediocre.
Right.
Like watching Jeff Green get all the minutes and like Tony Allen be horrible when he comes in. That was where I wanted to be like, I have to give up basketball. I can't take this.
Well, as painful as that might have been, there's something more painful, Keith. I don't even think you like to talk about it. Are we witnessing the worst contract year by a big name player ever from Mike Conley? He doesn't look like the same basketball player.
He's terrible. So he's had some struggling games. His floater doesn't go in anymore.
No.
His floater is like you wish Andre Drummond was on his team.
Right.
Because he's just, splintering the ball against the backboard. He's just throwing these horrible floaters up. But unfortunately, the Grizzlies are not a good rebounding team anymore. So it's like, it's not an effective play. Like if Reggie Jackson bricked these floaters up, that just feeds the beast.
Right.
Drummond is gobbling them all up.
There's no net positive from almost anything Conley's doing anymore.
You have unrestricted free agent Mike Conley, who seemed destined. But honestly, the way and every team having cap space and him being the only point guard on the market.
Yeah.
Like probably he's, get paid. He's going to get paid. So he's like, maybe I can sleepwalk through the whole year. but so now he's hurt.
Maybe he's just keeping his expectations.
But he's banged up. And so in the Portland game, I was pretty angry about it. Like I tweeted about it. Like when he came out for the first possession,
right?
You're like, oh, he is not well. Mm-hmm. Like he can't bend over. He's not running. They're saying like Brevin Knight's like his back's all tied up. His ankle's bothering him. So
play Diamond Rio.
Play Rio. Rio can handle 40 minutes.
Yeah.
He's done it. I don't know any legitimate organization who's been to the playoffs. They rest their guys.
Right.
Like, that's why you got him.
That's why you have people. So in January, you're like, oh, our point guard, Mike Conley, is banged up every year when we get to the playoffs because we play him every game.
Yeah.
What is it, January 4th? He can barely walk?
Jaeger doesn't do that, though, because
you got to have someone over Jaeger then.
In the games where we've lost by like 50 points, the starters will play the whole game.
Para's lawyer has to come in and be like, no, Conley's sitting.
Hey, rest him.
Like, you have to rest these guys.
So that just, like, speaks to maybe the control of the locker room and his ability to, you know, coach this team and tell these players you can't play when they want to play.
It's like, I guess Jaeger has, because he talks a game about trying to rest the guys.
Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't happen. I
guess he gets so wrapped up in trying to win the game. But it seems like there has to be some organizational hierarchy mm-hmm. that can say to the coach, hey, we're whatever we are. We're like 18 and 17.
Yeah.
It's January 4th. If we lose to the Blazers in Portland, it'll be okay. Like, it'll be okay. We need to rest him. And then he goes to we don't have a third point guard anymore, which is idiotic.
Yeah.
Like, it's idiotic to not have three point guards. In the offseason, we were complaining, this team needs a backup center. Like, there are many ways to build an NBA roster. But a couple of things that are pretty much true, you need to have two centers. And I know we're getting all small ball, but you need to have two guys who are kind of legit centers, and you probably need to have three guys who can bring the ball off the court under pressure.
Right.
Call them point guards, call them combo guards, or whatever you want.
You can tweener yourself to death everywhere else.
Exactly.
But you cannot, those two positions, you have to have your ones and fives in place.
You have your 15 roster spots, five of them, you probably need to have two centers and three point guards. The Grizzlies haven't done either this whole year, which is just a weird, like, yeah. you know what we should have? We should have three undersized power forwards that we don't play.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy. And I'm happy they got rid of one Stokes, but they got another one back in Ennis. I mean, I'm happy to see James Ennis play. By the way, not a brother of Tyler Ennis. That's for our flashback to our game
you
of scones.
Don't say.
Not related. But the part of me wants to wish they would develop more, but still, it angers me that they haven't built this roster to where they can rest Mike as much as they need to.
And it doesn't seem like we have many trade pieces either. Like, do you see any potential moves?
So the potential moves is, I mean, there's things that can be done, and it just depends on what wants to happen. I would almost like, it was weird. So when they got Jeff Green, I was pretty much for it. Like, I saw the upside, and then it seemed everyone was turning against Jeff Green, and then it became clear, oh, he actually is pretty bad when he's playing with all these different combinations of players.
Right.
He cannot handle his defensive assignments. His defense in the end of the Jazz game was just a travesty. His rebounding is so bad, and he's playing the four a lot.
He's like he wanders onto the court, like, whereas Tony Allen used to kind of do it lovingly.
Right.
Jeff Green does it like a murderous madman. I don't know what he's going to do next.
I think they need to move one of the guys, and I don't know if they could just unload. If like you could convince Scott Skiles to take Vince Carter. Vince Carter lives in Orlando, and maybe we could pick up a random player.
Here's an old friend of yours.
Yeah, but I don't know who on these squads you're trying to bring back. Like, you look at, would you trade Courtney Lee to a team? He's an unrestricted free agent, not playing it. He's playing fine.
He's like one of the only guys on the team who can make a shot.
Exactly. I mean, so that's the trade-off. I feel like they need to lose one wing guy.
Right.
And I haven't. Like, I looked at the teams. It seems like you could maybe do something big with Chicago. They're trying to get a wing. They don't want our wings.
Right.
Like, will we trade Courtney Lee to Chicago for Mirotić? Like, that'd be weird. Mirotić looks bad. It wouldn't really help us.
I don't think they'd do it either.
Like, Tony Snell, probably. We get Tony Snell from Chicago.
That would be interesting.
It'd be interesting, but Chicago fans hate Tony Snell.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's always the
that might be six of one, half dozen of another.
That's the red flag.
Right.
You look at the other team, you know, like, when you trade a guy and everyone's like, oh, thank God. You know, like we're, like, please take our guy. I don't know if the Suns, again, there's a, it's a, it's a, fire sale, but I don't know who you get. Would you take a flyer on an Archie Goodwin?
PJ Tucker, me dog.
I would love to have a PJ Tucker.
I would take a flyer on Archie Goodwin. If he's your third point guard, why not?
The Bucks have a Plumlee. Seems like maybe you could get a backup Plumlee.
No, thanks.
But again, we're talking in the very unsexy realm.
Yes.
I don't know.
It seems to me we're just kind of doomed to like sixth seed and getting destroyed by the Thunder. Or you know, we might end up
curb stomped.
And those, yeah, like, unless we can somehow, I guess I can see why Jaeger feels like he has to win every game, because we have to get to the fourth or the fifth seed to have a chance to win a round in the playoffs.
Agreed.
Like, the top three seeds are going to stomp us.
Although I'm not as worried as you are about the Thunder.
Well, they've played really well, though. The Thunder and Clippers, as Billy Donovan seems, they've played really well.
The Thunder and Clippers are, you know, right behind the Spurs, or way behind, but they're at least above the rest of the morass. Mm-hmm. They've lifted themselves above. I don't know. I feel like if we got rid of a piece, if somehow we could turn, and I'm even fine, like, Matt Barnes has been great, but if we could free up some more space to get up another player who could help, like another shooter. Maybe it's Darrell Wright coming back from China.
Love it.
Knock down one shot. Just one shot.
Steph Marbury's apparently able to play still.
Ahmed Haddadi's Instagram account is going strong. I believe he's still doing Szechuan blue whaling.
Love it.
So I just wish that you'd have a James Ennis. We'd see Jordan Adams get some play if he ever gets healthy again. And for that to happen, like, if you could get anything for Jeff Green, if you could get free agent, if you could get a second round pick.
Right.
I almost feel like just forcing the Grizzlies are, again, they're right now, they're 19 and 17.
If they get rid of Jeff Green, that'll be like the straw that breaks Jaeger's back too.
Exactly.
He's obsessed.
He'll
with
be
him.
Furious.
Yeah.
But if you gave all of Jeff Green's minutes to Jamichael Green or James Ennis, like, how many games worse would they be?
None.
Like, one?
The answer is none more black.
Exactly. Exactly. So right. It's like they would still be around 500,
right.
And you'd at least be seeing what you have in Ennis. You'd be developing. Like, if Jamichael Green plays a lot, he will probably get better.
I like Jammers.
Yeah. Jammer seems fine.
A bit of a divergent path, but hey, I think we saw our first round pick play a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He entered
a game.
He scored a bucket.
He got his first NBA bucket.
What's his name?
Jarnell Martin.
Jor-El.
Jor-El.
Son of Jor-El.
He's a Jor-El.
Kneel before Jaeger.
We traded. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Like, I'm enjoying watching the Grizzlies now, even though, like, Mark's been up and down.
Oh God!
So contract year Mark is now over. We have to wait five more years for him to look good again, I guess.
Well, sometimes he looks amazing and has a triple double, and then other nights he misses every shot.
And then contract year Conley has been the biggest nightmare.
Wow!
So I mean, it seems like you could trade one of the wings, maybe a Vince Carter. You could trade even. Again, I said Matt Barnes. Like, I would say, I like to see Jeff Green. If you could just get a backup, like a.
Like, I don't know if the tools
Markel
are
Brown.
I don't know if the tools
like
are
some
in the
terrible
share.
Backup point guard.
He's really bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like almost
the only thing you
last.
Guys can do is blow it up. Start from scratch.
But it's hard to blow this team up.
You got a piece. Marky Mark is a very tradable asset. No. See, but that's where you come in. You guys, your hearts are
no,
you gotta be cold blooded like Pat Riley.
There is
trade him away.
There is no blowing up because like, if it's a lottery pick, we lose it.
Right, so you can't blow it up this year.
You have Marc Gasol signed for 5 years, which that is a good thing, even though we're saying he's played bad. That's a great thing.
His game ages
and Conley
well.
And Conley will come back, and so they're getting old. They're just going to be stuck in the middle. And again, there is no proven blowing it up solves it.
Right, you're right.
Alert Philadelphia. There is no correlation. The teams that are amazing, you can say, well, the Spurs got Tim Duncan. Like, that was lucky.
Yeah, I kind of don't like the blow it up. I much prefer the stealthier rebuilds that you see.
Especially
the good teams do.
A blow it up for me in a small market is so risky.
Right.
Like, it's like, so I'm fine with the path. Again, I guess my, in closing of this bloated episode, is I'm taking some joy in just in the fact that the old Grizzlies guys are showing glimpses of doing fine. I can handle an early exit. And then of the playoffs, as long as my guys who I love are playing hard, playing well. And then in the back of my mind, I have this seed of, like, I remember maybe like the 2005 Celtics or what year it was, where they made the conference finals and they got blown out by 20, like 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, they were just an old team. They got crushed in a lot of regular season games. Maybe they went in as, like, a sixth seed.
Yeah.
Made the conference finals. So just went around in the playoffs. I feel like it's still there. There's the talent is there. It's just organizing the people and giving the franchise a direction.
It's like they have the ingredients to make a certain dish, but then, like, they've completely forgotten how to make the dish.
I think I love your analogy.
Right.
They're just not measuring it out, and they just keep pouring in the Jeff Green. Like, why does this taste bad?
Because baking, if you're baking it, like, if you mess up any of the measurements, it tastes
pretty
poor.
It said 2 cups of sugar, but I did 2 cups of baking soda.
Yeah.
Is that fine? Anyway, all right.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Let's not talk anymore. So thanks for listening to the Grizzlies Epilogue. You guys are the best. Go Grizzlies. We'll see you in Memphis next weekend. All right. Have a good one.
Arrive safely.